Emmett Golden joins us, co-host of Emmett and Gerard, ESPN 850 in Cleveland. All hell must have broken loose. Did it, Emmett? Good morning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was on vacation yesterday. I had a day off, and the news had different plans for me. So, yeah, I got called in from, you know, taking some time off with the family and everything. But, yeah, it was crazy. You know, the news comes down right around dinner time, and you go, is it really going to happen that fast? And, boom, next thing you know, a couple hours later, the Eastern Conference has been shook up.
All right, I didn't see any chance at even training camp that Kyrie and LeBron would be together again. What did you think the chances were that you would have any games this year where Kyrie Irving was a Cleveland Cavalier?
I thought there was 0% chance. Once the news comes out that Kyrie Irving doesn't want to play with LeBron, at that point, you know, the bridge is burnt and there just is no going back. From a statement like that or from a report coming out. And you also never heard Kyrie Irving or anyone speaking for him go against that report. So everybody basically understood that that's the way that he felt, that he wanted to get out of LeBron's shadow. And, you know, the Cavaliers, their PR team is pretty good, and they knew that they could not handle having both of those guys in the same room during media day and just every day thereafter, because that's the only thing that people would talk about is, hey, Kyrie wants to be out of here. Do you still feel that way? LeBron, are you mad at Kyrie? And it just would have been a complete mess.
This kind of feels like the first win of the offseason for Cleveland, right? You had everything that happened with David Griffin, and then obviously the trade demand comes out. It's just been one bad story after another for the Cavs, and I think, you know, they come out of this pretty good, especially when you think of the trades made for Paul George and Jimmy Butler, where those respective teams didn't get much in return. Here, the Cavs, you know, they get a tangible return for Kyrie Irving.
They got everything that they were looking for. You know, we knew that they were looking for another all-star in return. They got that in Isaiah Thomas. They got a rotational player right now. I believe Jay Crowder will get a lot of minutes. And, you know, obviously he's a valuable player. And then you get that pick from Brooklyn. And we all know that Brooklyn's a very bad team. And with it being unprotected, a first-round unprotected pick, and it's one of the worst teams in the league that pick is owned by, well, you know, it's owned by the Cavs, but now you have the future. Just in case LeBron does leave next year, you have the first, you know, hopefully top five pick in the draft, maybe even the first pick in the draft, depending on the lottery. And that's what the Cavaliers were looking for. It's just weird that the team that they played in the Eastern Conference Finals was the team able to provide that.
With Emmett Golden from ESPN 850 in Cleveland. Emmett, there's no question that it wasn't a good look in the playoffs last year. Golden State looked better than Cleveland. That's why they won the championship. Golden State got better in this offseason, and Cleveland did not. Makes it a little more palatable for someone like Kyrie Irving to say, you know what, I don't want to play here anymore. If Cleveland would have won the championship, do you think that this situation would have been averted, or there was, like, Kyrie had enough? It didn't matter how this played out. He wanted out.
Yeah, I think that's the way it is. It would have been an even crazier story had they won the title and Kyrie would have asked to be traded. But I do believe that would have been the case. You know, we've heard reports that in between the first and second rounds, when everything was going all good, you know, Kyrie didn't speak to any of his teammates. And you know, that's weird. Like, you're on a successful team. You guys are rolling through those first two rounds of the playoffs. Why aren't you speaking to any of your teammates? So obviously there was something internally going on with Kyrie Irving, and I don't think it could have been avoided, you know, whether they would have won a title or not last year.
How good is Kyrie Irving? I mean, we know he's one of the most elite offensive players in this league. There's always going to be questions about what he provides defensively. But can he reach the ceiling that Boston thinks he can? What have you seen from Kyrie Irving that says he's got another gear that he can reach?
Well, we know that she is a great offensive player, just like you said. There's no question about that. Anybody that disputes that is just lying to themselves. The one issue, the one kind of hole in Kyrie's game that you can poke at, and, you know, I've covered Kyrie since he was the number one pick in the draft, never really been able to lead a team. Now he spent some time with LeBron over the past few years. Maybe he picked up some stuff. But even when LeBron would have games off, typically the Cavaliers would lose. So that's the one thing that Boston's kind of taking a chance on. We know he can score, but can he win and be the focal point of a team and lead that team to the playoffs without LeBron James? We know that Isaiah Thomas can. That's one of the things that makes me feel good about this trade, that Isaiah Thomas has had success where he has been the best player on the team. When Kyrie Irving's been the best player on the team, a lot of oohs and ahs, a lot of points, but not very many victories.
All right, it's not in the context that I'm about to use it in, but you just said without LeBron. So where do we go now? This trade, how does this affect the future of LeBron staying or leaving Cleveland?
I don't think it does one way or the other. I think LeBron, you know, has his mind made up and knows what he wants to do, and he's not going to share it with anyone until, you know, it's time to sign a contract, whether it's here in Cleveland or somewhere else. But I don't think that LeBron's keeping a checklist, you know, saying, okay, I like this move, I didn't like this move, and then he's going to, you know, add up the sum at the end and let that decide whether he's going to leave or not. I know that LeBron cares about Northeast Ohio. I don't believe he would have came back if he didn't. So I believe his heart is here. We'll find out where his business mind is next year. But I don't believe this trade either increases or decreases the chance of him staying or leaving.
All right, we got 40 seconds. Cleveland won the trade. Boston won the trade. Cleveland's better. Boston's better. They're both better. How does this work out?
Cavs in six in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, there
you go. That's how this all shakes out.